This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 399 in the series. This year's the candidates' night for the special election to fill the open spot on the town council. The evening was conducted in a hybrid format. All the candidates were present in the council chambers along with the moderator and town clerk office members. The public was able to participate via conference bridge or live stream to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. The recording runs around 41 minutes, so let's listen to the candidates' night held November 23rd, 2020, to prepare for your vote on or before the special election December 5th.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Showtime. Good evening, and welcome to candidates' night. My name is Larry Benedetto. I'll be the moderator for tonight's debate, sponsored by the office of the town clerk, Nancy DiNello. We're here to fill the vacancy created by Eamon Earls, who is off to law school. We wish Eamon well. I will explain the parameters of the debate shortly, but Nancy will give a brief introduction about what the rules will be and the timing and so forth. Thank you, Nancy.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. I'm Nancy DiNello, your acting town clerk, and with me I have Susan Marullo and Melissa Karakopoulos. I said that right, right?
Yes.
Okay, some of the rules. Each candidate will have up to 2 minutes to introduce themselves. You will then have 2 minutes to elaborate on each. I'm sorry? Can you hear me?
That might have been the Zoom.
Okay. I'm gonna start over. Each candidate will have up to 2 minutes to introduce themselves. You will then have 2 minutes to elaborate on each of the three topics that you have chosen, one at a time, rotating among the four candidates in the above order, which is Mr. Chiklis, Mr. Earls, Mr. Frangillo, and Mr. Sampali. In closing, again, you will have up to 2 minutes, allowing for conclusions or comments made in the prior minutes of debate, as well as finalizing your appeal to the voters. The clerk's office will be keeping time to be sure that we adhere to the schedule. Good luck, gentlemen.
Thank you, Nancy.
Oh, sorry, Larry. I want to introduce Larry. Larry's graciously taken on his role as moderator once again. Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome. So, we all know the rules. The order, as she explained it, will be Mr. Chiklis, Mr. Earls, Mr. Frangillo, and Mr. Sampali. So we're going to begin with Mr. Chiklis's introduction. Welcome, Gregory.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, Nancy. Thanks for having me here tonight. It's a real pleasure. You know, I consider myself a product of Massachusetts. I was born up on the North Shore. I was educated at UMass Amherst for my bachelor's, and then I got my doctorate up at UMass Lowell. And I've always grown and had my businesses in Massachusetts. Back in 1998, I had the opportunity to start a job here in Franklin, and I came to work for a company called Bioclinical Partners. I commuted for about 8 months until my wife and I found a nice home. And then eventually, Fudwa and I found this wonderful home over on Charles River. We moved into Charles River. We've raised our four kids there now, Chad, Alex, Tori, and Ella. I did the normal dad stuff, coached baseball, coached sports for the kids. For 15 years, ran the Rod and Gun Club Fishing Derby, tried to get a lot of kids involved. But most of the time, I've spent professionally running my companies. And I've grown two very large companies in this town over the last 23 years. And what I'd like to do is, and by the way, those companies focus on infectious disease and cancer diagnostics. And what I'd like to do is take my skills in infectious diseases and cancer, as well as my skills in running businesses, and help the town of Franklin move forward through this pandemic. Now, we find ourselves in an interesting situation tonight. This is now the third time we're having a special election because one of our members, our younger members, has moved on for another opportunity. I've been in this town, I've invested in this town for the last 20 plus years. I can promise you I'm here for the duration. I'm here to do the job, and I will give it every ounce of energy that I have. I hope I can win your vote tonight with my story, and I certainly look forward to a spirited discussion. Please come out and vote on December 5th. We look forward to seeing everybody at the polls. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chiklis. Mr. Earls, please.
Thank you, Chief Benedetto.
I, too, grew up in Massachusetts. Briefly, I've lived here in Franklin for about 30 years, and for most of that time, I've been involved in the town's volunteer boards, Industrial Development Commission, for example, which was tasked with attracting new tax-paying businesses to our industrial parks, the Open Space and Public Land Use Committees, which have been focused on stewardship and quality of life issues, and the Historical Commission. I've also stepped up to the plate in many other areas, as described in probably too exhaustive detail on my website, alanearls.com. You suggested in your preface to this meeting, Chief, that we address the town's often precarious finances, the need to enhance revenue, how to manage a town where people have strong, not in my backyard sentiments about growth, and whether we'd support an override. I'll try to touch on all of those things, but top of mind for many residents is the town's recent loss of $500,000 to scammers and the misplaced ballots back in September. Before we talk override or many of these other problems, I think we need to talk about municipal management. Clarity, transparency, and clear lines of responsibility are key to addressing many of our challenges. In my commentaries, I'll touch on these issues through the lens of Franklin's past, its present, and what I hope will be its very bright future.
Thank you, Mr. Earls. Mr. Frangillo, please.
Yeah, thanks, everyone, and thanks to everyone who's tuning in. My name is Kobe Frangillo, for those of you that don't know me. I'm a third-generation Franklin resident. I've had a lifelong of service. My background's in public policy. I'm actively committed to engaging new voices in the local democratic process, to ensuring that Franklin develops sustainably, and to protecting what makes Franklin special, and that's its character and its quality of life. I love Franklin. Since 1961, Franklin has educated my family, kept us safe, supported our small businesses. It's why I'm a third generation that's serving Franklin. It's why, from a young age, I've been contributing to my community. It's why, after graduating from Franklin High in 2015, I went off to UMass Amherst to study how to make my community better. I got my master's in public policy last year, where I focused on learning how Franklin can be better at developing sustainably. Now that I've come back and started working at an economic research firm in downtown Wrentham, I've been getting more and more involved and looking for opportunities to make my community better. I'm really proud of what the campaign has done, and I think that I have the time, energy, and interest to make a brighter future for Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. Frangillo. Mr. Sampali, please.
Thank you, Larry, and Nancy, and rest of the Lady Suzanne, and Melissa, and rest of the gentlemen. Thanks for having me. My name is K.P. Sampali. I'm running for the Franklin Town Council. 12 years ago, I and my wonderful wife made the best decision moving into Franklin to raise my two sons. My elder son just passed out of Franklin High School, and my family is doing good with the another two boys there. And the reason we moved into Franklin was the Franklin hiking trails and sporting fields. And there are so many, you know, small town culture offering vibrant enrichment events. Today, it provides me an opportunity to give back to Franklin's community, which is a responsibility I take seriously. Coming from a diverse background, I have first-handedly seen how maintaining a small-town culture within our community can really help bring together people of all ages and backgrounds. Service is essential for a community, and it connects us to each other and gives us a sense of pride and identity.
Thank you, Mr. Sampali. As Nancy explained, the candidates have been given the latitude to select what they believe to be salient issues, important issues to the community, issues they feel strongly about, and they have the option to not only pick them, but spend as much time as they want on each one within that two-minute parameter, and we're allowing some flexibility. So we're going to begin with Mr. Chiklis, identifying what you believe to be important.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Larry. And first of all, before I get started, I'm the only one up here without a mask on. That's because I was COVID tested at my company an hour ago, and I'm negative. So as you guys know, I've run a couple of companies in this town for 23-some-odd years now. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what I've done to help the town out over those 23 years, what I'm doing now, and what I expect to do in the future. I've hired hundreds of local workers out of Franklin and the surrounding towns. I helped the high school when they were putting the high school program together to fund the new high school. We had meetings at my company. And after the town voted favorably for the new high school, I then went out and I wrote a really fat check and I bought a ton of equipment for the kids, built a molecular testing lab, mentored those kids, and gave them an education that no other kid in Massachusetts had out of their high school programs. Many of those kids used those advantages going off to college. The class is still a very, very popular program at the high school. I also sponsored the teachers to go to National Science Teachers Conferences so they could learn more about the school. And, you know, those internships, summer jobs, okay? 3 minutes, right? Internships, summer jobs, science nights, all the things they did to support the company. So what am I currently doing now? This is what I've done over the years. As soon as COVID hit, we opened up our doors to all the first responders in this area. As a matter of fact, today I screened a Franklin fire truck and 3 ambulances. I'm doing everything I can to help screen businesses, local folks, local companies, so they can all stay safe. I've got about 30 college kids coming to my company on Wednesday so they can get tested to be safe before they go back to their homes. Was at the food pantry this week as well, helping them with the design of their new facility. We'll be screening food pantry workers. We'll be helping them out as well. But the most important thing I'm going to be doing is tomorrow I've been asked to chair a meeting with Jeff Roy, with the Franklin and the Medway schools. And we'll be opening up a rapid response testing center at my company so we can keep our students safe. So any exposures in town with students, town workers, can instantly come to our company, get tested, get results within a matter of minutes. And if there happens to be a positive result, we can then reach back to that classroom and get those students and those other parents tested. Those are the types of things we can do to help the community. As I move forward in the future, if I'm successful, I'd love to help our senior centers, our retirement living homes, and any places in nursing homes in Franklin where people may have high risk of catching COVID. So those are a few things I've done in the past, what we're doing now, and things I'd like to help with in the future in the town. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chiklis. Mr. Earls, please.
Nice, Greg.
Thank you.
It's standard fare for candidates to come up to events like this and say nice things about our town, how great the schools are, what a desirable community is to live in, and those things are true. They're safe truths. But I'd like to talk a little bit about some of our problems of the past, especially. As you, Chief Benedetto, and others who've been involved in the town for a long time know, Franklin has had a real reputation problem in the past. This was particularly true back in the 1980s and 1990s when Franklin was the fastest growing town for many years in the state. It was a Wild West environment where developers and insiders stretched or manipulated regulations to their own benefit. And all those matters are fortunately in the past. I'm sure the statute of limitations is long past, so it's to some extent a moot point. But I believe the go-along, get-along attitude of that era still colors the way Franklin operates today. I'd remind you that it got so bad that at one point the Boston Globe Spotlight team, their investigative reporters, were snooping around town. They ended up focusing instead on the horrendous Catholic Church sex abuse scandal, so we dodged that bullet. But we should at least acknowledge that troubled past as we try to move forward. The issue is not being about whether one is for or against development, but whether one is for or not the agreed upon rules and norms that if not followed, only benefit the well-connected. At the same time that developers were racing each other to keep Franklin in its position of fastest growing town, government was in crisis. We still had the old town open town meeting approach with selectmen, and our offices were overcrowded and overburdened. Schools were bursting at the seam. So voters approved, among other things, a switch to a town manager and town council form of government. But unfortunately, that ushered in a decade of even more infighting and turmoil, which saw us wear out several town managers in succession. When that problem was finally cured by hiring a very savvy town manager, Jeff Nutting, the cure came with some problems of its own. One of his first actions was to leash the council, so to speak, getting it to vote to essentially limit its own powers to almost an advisory role. So we got a steadier government, but not one that has solved all its problems. And that, I believe, is one of the reasons we have continued to have an embarrassing failures like the missing $500,000. I should note here that unlike our town's excellent news gatherers and commentator, Steve Sherlock, who has suggested that phishing scams like that just happen and are almost normal, my decade of writing about cybersecurity suggests that it's really a classic failure of management, a weak comptroller function, or inadequate cybersecurity practices. Furthermore, this wasn't the first time I believe $250,000 also went missing a dozen years ago from the school department, and I don't believe that's ever been fully explained. These are the kinds of issues the town council should dig into. Specifically, I think the council should vote out the strictures it imposed on itself and aim to be an active part of the solution going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Earls. Mr. Frangillo, please.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk first about small businesses. I think that when we talk about character of Franklin, one of the things that we're talking about in personality of Franklin is those small businesses. I think they serve as the backbone to what makes Franklin great. I've watched my dad found and operate three small businesses in town. I've seen what comes from community support, but I've also seen opportunities for us to improve. I talked recently with a small business owner in the area, and she talked about three things that helped decide when and where she opened a small business. They were marketability, the interest that the town itself shows, and the ease of regulation and navigating the regulatory process. I think for marketability, the MAPC market study that was conducted recently was a great start, a fantastic start, and we need to use the recommendations to keep going. I think councilors like Mel Hamblin and the Economic Development Council have done a great job to make sure that we're listening to our businesses, and now we need to take what's been said from those listening sessions, take what's been said from that study, and make sure that we're actually making improvements, which come down to digital marketing, a comprehensive marketing strategy, more initiatives like Anne-Marie Tracy's been doing with, like, Think Franklin First. In terms of interest in town, I think that's something that all of us can play a role in. I think it hurts us. You know, the market study found that the majority of people in Franklin leave Franklin every single week for their shopping and dining needs, right? That's money that could be spent on Franklin. Instead, we have some vacancies in town. If you're going to a place that you would rather have in town, go talk to them. Sell them on Franklin. Invite them here. You know, I think we all have a role in that. And the last is ease of regulations. And this is something that the study demanded, and I think something that we can enact is a Franklin business guide. Something that says, here's the places to go to market. Here are the regulations that you need to start and continue to operate a new business. Here's where to go with any questions. These are ways that we can continue to support the very businesses that make our town special.
Thank you, Mr. Frangillo. Mr. Sampali, please.
I would like to elaborate today on public safety, education, and economic development. In terms of public safety, over the past few years, Franklin has been subject to multiple instances of break-ins and vandalism, which has been a huge concern for many of the families that I have worked with to solve their problem over the past year. Seeing this happen first-handedly, I understand the trauma, fear, and frustration associated with these occurrences, and see where our community has room to improve in order to tackle this community-wide pain joint. Further, I look to utilize my personal and professional experiences towards solving this problem and making residents affected feel safer. I propose we utilize video footage technologies such as CC systems in the areas of our town that have historically been most affected in order to reduce instances of drug dealing, break-ins, and other crime areas. Public safety is number one priority than anything else. It's not only limited to initiatives that directly reduce crime. For example, several neighborhoods and streets within our town are not well lit, don't have lighting altogether. I've been informed by so many residents about this specific problem, but none has been solved since I don't have the power to solve. Through this role, my goal would be to proactively keep Franklin as safe as possible and work towards being ranked the safest town in the Commonwealth, addressing all types of public safety concerns faced by residents of our community. The second topic I want to elaborate is education. Providing is ample quality of educational opportunities in not only what will brighten the future of this town, but will also facilitate and influence substantial community-wide improvement. For instance, like our Kennedy School has a higher ranking than other schools, we should work towards achieving the rest of these schools to the same level. And this, the third point I want to elaborate is economic development, which is a very big subject. In terms of economic development, Franklin has ample opportunity for growth within the areas of infrastructure, facilities, and quality of life. Growing up within a small business-owned family, I have experiences and understand the need and value for small business growth within our community, as well as the benefits it brings towards the local economy. Surrounded by ample towns, we have the unique opportunity to expand economically and leverage our resources in order to maximize our quality of life and economic standing. The continual balance of large employers alongside small businesses are what makes the Franklin community uniquely what it is. The need for diversity and inclusion applies across the board. Thank you.
You okay? If we can all pay a little attention to the young ladies over there, so we know how the, you know, no 5 or 10 seconds isn't an issue, but we want to keep it. Okay, round two, Mr. Chiklis, please.
Absolutely. So the second issue I'd like to talk about is the business of running the town of Franklin. I've been a CEO for quite some time. It's my job to return values to the shareholders. It's my job to return values to the owners of a company. The town council's job is to serve all 30,000 residents of our town, to do everything we can to make this a wonderful place, to increase property values, and to really make it a wonderful place to raise our families. I was selected as Entrepreneur of the Year finalist twice in a row in 2017 and 2018 for New England for healthcare because of my abilities to grow very small companies rapidly and effectively and into very large companies. That's really what's going on here in Franklin. We're a $130 million company, but we're a rapidly growing company. And when you manage rapidly growing companies, you have challenges every single day with systems and processes and improvement. And I hear about the problems of the past of our town. And yeah, those may have been the problems of our past. But did those people have the right training and the right systems and the right monitoring and the right auditing and the help with their systems? I've been running ISO and FDA certified facilities for years, and they're totally based on continual improvement. I've focused every one of my companies on my employees. That's how you're successful. You surround yourself with smart people, you give them the tools and the skills to do well at their job, and you let them grow with opportunity in their positions. And I guarantee you that if I can work with the town administration and help them and complement them with the work that they're doing today, I think I can really be a big help with the training I've had. And this is no different than marketing, sales, HR. The town covers all those functions, okay? And once we have a good, solid understanding of how those operations work and how we monitor them and how we can make them better, I think you're going to see that the town's going to improve and we're not going to have issues like we just recently had. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chiklis. Mr. Earls, please.
Thank you. I'd like to talk about Franklin today. Extending on my earlier remarks, in addition to the now infamous loss of $500,000, the town has been party to a number of expensive lawsuits and settlements, as well as all kinds of calamities, buildings that were flooded and so damaged they had to be torn down, mold problems, roofs that leaked, etc. Most of these things, unfortunately, tend to get buried in the minutiae of the budget where they aren't easy to find. Many are covered by our risk and liability insurance, which is mentioned in our annual report without any reference to its cost. I do know, I'm sure you all know, that insurance costs are almost always affected by experience, actual loss experiences. So given the degree to which we seem to rely on insurance as a kind of municipal slush fund, I would be surprised if our premiums weren't extremely high. Looking into this would be job one if elected to the council. In terms of overall management, like our Wild West era that I alluded to earlier, I think the rule of thumb in our town operations has become go along to get along. Excellence is not usually part of the picture. I think we can do better. Our fire chief, for example, has taken a great step in this direction by having his department ISO certified, which Greg alluded to. It's a globally recognized approach to quality, and I'm confident, like Greg, that there's room for a number of similar initiatives in our town, which Chief Benedetto has accurately described as being a big business. In fact, It's really important to point out, as Greg has, that it's not usually a problem with individuals, it's systems. The great quality leaders focus on making the systems work so the people within the system can be effective.
Thank you, Mr. Earl. Mr. Frangillo, please.
Yes, second thing I want to talk about is sustainability. I really believe that the best thing that we can do with our time on Earth is leave it a better place for the future. I grew up on Maple Street, playing in the wetlands and the forests between Maple Street and Lincoln. You know, that was my playground. It was where we made videos. It was where we exercised. And every year I come back and it's cut on in just a little more from housing developments or exposed a little more to developments. I think that a lot of people in town have been experiencing this, where there's priority areas that mean something special to them that we're seeing lost. And I think this is why we saw the town speak resoundingly in their willingness to invest in these things. But sustainability isn't just about being responsible stewards of natural resources. It also is about long-term planning. I think one of the things that can and should be on the docket soon is our master plan, and I want to make sure that we're thinking about long-term, strategic, sustainable development in that. It means smart growth. It means using historic buildings before building new ones. It means looking into alternative transportation routes, recreation areas, expanding access to the downtown for biking and walking, extending the rail trail. It means using our function as a green community to invest in energy efficiency initiatives and alternative transportation initiatives that save us money in the long term. It means using things like municipal energy aggregation to make sure that our town reflects the values of building a better future for our children.
Thank you, Mr. Frangillo. Mr. Sampali, please.
Adding to my prior economic development points, the diversification of economic opportunity is required in order to create a sustainable economic environment for us for years to come. With continued residential development, we must meet the demand for housing for all residents, regardless of socioeconomic status and age. People of all ages are historically known to love living and working in their hometown of Franklin, and we must work towards fulfilling anticipated housing requirements through adequate planning within the early years of additional all the age through their life, where we can leverage those interested in retiring within their hometown. In addition, we must leverage our historical relevance and recreational opportunities in order to drive more visitors and prospective residents within our time. Characteristics of one quality of life are unique to their specific experiences and expectations. Several factors, including but not limited to employment, educational opportunities, medical services, affordable housing, local government, child and senior services, retail and entertainment services, and more collectively, both directly and indirectly, impacts one's quality of life and therefore must be prioritized in terms of funding and addressed in order to maintain the happiness and satisfaction of our residents.
Thank you, Mr. Sampali. Mr. Chiklis, the last round.
Thank you, Larry. I'd like to talk a little bit about a growth and an infrastructure plan. It's been 22, 23 years since we've been in town, and my plants have been dying in my yard every year. Love to have us, you know, we really need to look at our infrastructure around here and understand our water constraints, our power. We just had some meetings on power, getting that fixed up this week as well. And obviously crowding in the town. Okay, so we can talk about low-income housing. We've actually met our limit, or our minimum limit for 40B, which is nice because now we can make decisions on what makes best for the town. We can talk about open spaces. We can talk about the budget. We can talk about a bunch of different things. None of it makes any sense without a plan. It's going to be a new world after COVID. Is there anybody that thinks that we're going to fill up all those office buildings again in town? People are working remotely. We need to be smart about this. What are we going to do with those office buildings? How are we going to bring other companies in? You bring manufacturing companies in like my business. You bring in high-end biotech companies that bring in high-paying jobs. You fill into those spaces. Maybe you use it for affordable housing. It all has to happen with a plan. I can't tell you one thing or another that's gonna come up, but I can tell you one thing. I can put together a very, very solid plan for this town, as I have for a business action plan for growing my businesses. You surround yourself with the wonderful people of this town and all the knowledge they have. You collect as much information as you possibly can, and you think about the 10, 15, and 20-year future of this town and how we're going to handle that growth moving forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chiklis.
You're welcome.
Mr. Earls, please.
Thank you. Chief Benedetto and the voters at home, I've focused so far on our past and present problems because I want to propose a future that is better, much better, a future in which Franklin is a model for best practices in municipal government, not just doing things the way they've always been done or getting along by going along, but always striving for a better way. We need to have a great long-term financial management plan and a development plan so we can avoid overrides, so we can again have an ample rainy day fund, and the current administration is doing a good job at least heading us in the right direction there, so we can handle emergencies. In the near term, we need to have a plan and funding ready to support the details of the vaccine distribution that seems to be coming up pretty soon, to make sure that those in need locally, including vulnerable people, people who are in poverty or elders, can get it, even ensuring some kind of home delivery program to shut-ins if necessary. I believe, as I've noted, that we need to get a more active and engaged town council. In addition, as part of ensuring that the lines of responsibility that make for good management extend to the elected officials, we need to go back to the experiment we tried briefly in the 1990s of voting for councilors by precinct, so that each neighborhood has its own elected representative to hear their concerns and be accountable to them. At present, sadly, councilors who are elected at large are responsible to everyone and no one. So elections become a kind of popularity contest rather than a measure of actual effectiveness. If a voter feels a pothole in the neighborhood isn't getting fixed, or if they have concerns with other aspects of government, they need to know they'll have a councilor who will listen to them and act in their interests. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Earls. Mr. Frangillo, please.
Thanks. This is the one that excites me the most, and I think it's one of the main reasons why I ran. In fact, when I was considering running, someone asked, they were looking around the country and wondering what we can do to address that. And I think one of the things that we can do is start to develop some sense of trust that government can and should work for the best interests and represent the people. And it starts by engaging community. And so the third thing I'm going to talk about is community engagement. I think and I worry that Franklin's town council has been complacent with only reaching so many people in town, with reaching a small subset of town. And I think one of the things that we saw this summer was a whole bunch of people willing to be and ready to be engaged in building a better community. We saw it this summer. We saw it this election turnout. We had record voter turnout in our election. Let's get all these people that are interested and engage them in local government. It's something that our campaign's been committed to. I am proud to say that I've shown up at as many communities as I can. I've reached out to new voices that haven't traditionally been heard in town government. And we've been the campaign that's been trying to reach as many people as possible. I think it happens through technology. We've used video and social media and TV and podcasts and radio to engage. But I think most of all, it involves showing up. I really do believe that I've shown up since returning from UMass. I've shown up to more community events than anyone on this panel next to me. I really have been and will continue to be the one with the time, energy, and interest to listen to people and create a better future of Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. Frangillo. Mr. Sampali, please.
As our town continues to grow, there will be strain on the services we provide in regard to water, sanitation, and assistance from the fire and national grid. The Franklin Town Council must continue to work closely with our police department as well as national grid. The fire department to prepare for the expected growth and maintain the high levels of service for our community. When approving projects for community development, we must consider how these businesses will impact our resources, including parking in economic centers. In the past life, I owned and operated several businesses, and I'm confident in my ability to leverage this experience within these areas to be used as an asset when approaching this role within the town council. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sampali. All right, conclusions, closing.
Yes.
Mr. Chiklis, please.
Thank you, Larry. I love the town of Franklin. I love everything about the town of Franklin. I've enjoyed all of my time in this town, and I've done everything I can to give back to this community. I've hired many, many of our residents. I've mentored many of their children at my companies and in their classrooms. I've literally spent millions of dollars investing in my companies, which then is an investment in this community. My employees have supported the local economy here for 20 plus years. I consider myself an expert in infectious diseases, and I've done everything in my power to help this town through the pandemic by backing our first responders, by testing stores and office owners and dental offices and insurance companies, by screening kids and trying to help out, and most importantly, with the setup of this new rapid response center, making sure we can identify the outbreaks of the virus very quickly and keep our residents and our students safe. I think of the four candidates here tonight, I have all the skills required for this town council, and I really hope I have your vote on December 5th. I will give it 100% of my effort and time, and I really look forward to representing the town of Franklin for many years to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chiklis. Mr. Earls, please.
Thank you. Well, having gotten through my long litany of worries and complaints about Franklin, let me say, at heart, I'm a very positive thinker. I, too, love Franklin. I want it to be a good place, and maybe a great place, and probably the best place in America. I think it's got all that potential. We've got great history, so many great things going for us. But I think fundamental to succeeding and fundamental to engaging the public is having a well-managed government that people trust and believe in and feel they can engage in. So that would be the thing I would work on the most. Additionally, as Greg has noted, and I've also mentioned this before, in the current COVID economic environment, we have to really worry about the vacancy rates in our industrial parks. I think Franklin is still doing relatively well, but I do know that the vacancy rates in towns like Westboro and Southboro, which are very close, are up in the range of 30 or 35%, which is calamitous. We don't want that to happen here, so we certainly need to encourage our Industrial Development Committee to focus on that, or perhaps establish a separate group to focus even more to make sure that happens. Last but not least, you know, my corny slogan says it all. I'm all in for Franklin. I want to do a great job, and I want to really be part of this town council and put my ideas to work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Frangillo, please.
I think public service is rooted in care. It's rooted in commitment to being active and engaging. I've given back to this community, and in 2011, a few of my friends and I, in seventh grade, we started a charity soccer tournament. It's still running to this day. We've raised over $40,000 for local charities, and now we have a scholarship at Franklin High that rewards other students who start similar initiatives and become change makers themselves. It's why I went off and have dedicated my life, my career, to finding innovative solutions to public problems. And it's why I ran for this seat. I really do care deeply about honoring our past and leaving a better world for our future. I look forward to providing a fresh perspective, to joining with the people of Franklin to creating a brighter future.
Thank you, Mr. Frangillo. Mr. Sampali, please.
Dear voters, don't forget we are going to live in a post-COVID future. Franklin is a progressive town with its diverse community. Franklin counts needs to bring new ideas, skills to the playing field and wider perspective from all of the diverse people to come together and collaborate in our community. Diversity in our council increases communication in our community and opens great opportunities for Franklin, a continually progressive town. We need to ensure all voices are heard, resulting in appropriate policies to meet the needs of our town as a whole. KP for the need of the hour, unity in diversity for progressive Franklin. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes our debate tonight. Let me say personally, thank you all for participating tonight, and more specifically, thank you for willing to serve our community. It's easy to sit back and say things. It's much more difficult to step forward and put your name out there. So regardless of what happens the 5th, you're all winners, and we're all winners for having you willing to serve us, and we appreciate that. And good luck on the 5th. Town clerk will specify what happens.
Gentlemen, great job. Thank you. Thank you. I wish you all the best on December 5th. Larry, again, unbelievable. You're the best. Ladies, thank you. I want to remind the public, the viewers, December 5th, special election, Franklin High School, from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Any questions, please feel free to call the office. The number is 508-520-4900. Remember, vote. If you haven't applied for an application online or through the office, please do so. If you want to come in December 5th, we'd love to see you. Happy Thanksgiving to you all, and thank you again.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations. Good luck.
Thank Thanks, you. Guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Nice job. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.